Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Pain-free Friday for Alto, and I'm Minnesota Mahogany, waxing it up 100, 200, 300, bad seat, broken, bad apple, bad attitude, hate, bunch, bad utter, bad say, bad law, bad do, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Verona Palacio, right across the room, through the woods from, you know, where Granny loves to go back to her condo, especially when she got a fat sack of the kosher tangy in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people dress in plastic bags. I'm ready to drive in some kind of fashion shake that I should do. But all my friends that come around, fuck the flood, the party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. But a mess is tied to the tide of my brain, splattered all over my engine to be shaken. Ooh. What's getting in? It's Pharrell with Mafia running it tonight on a pain-free Friday. I'm watching the Yankees and Red Sox, believe it or not, from Fenway all night. Game of huge importance. Gerrit Cole was very good tonight, no doubt about it. And the Yankees lead 8-3. I thought he was good. Bottom line, he went six innings, gave up five hits, three earned runs. He walked three, struck out six, gave up a home run to Devers. But the Yankees are up five runs going to the eighth. They just had Wandy Peralta get him out of a two-on, two-out jam, and he struck out Dahlbeck to calm everybody down at Fenway. They were chanting, Bobby, Bobby, Bobby. Yeah, with Bobby's big 240 average. Okay, whatever. Sit down, Bobby. And this is a huge game for the Yankees. They've had everything going in this game tonight. In the first, Judge doubled a deep center. LeMahieu scored. Stanton grounded out. Rizzo scored. It was 2-0. Torres singled to center. Judge scored. It was 3-0. Stanton homered to right, 386. It was 6-0 in the third. Higgy reached an infield single. Gallo scored. It was 7-0 in the third. Devers homered to make it 7-3. And then Gleyber Torres with the home run to dead center, 402 feet to make it 8-3. It's a huge game, obviously, with the wild card situation. First of all, if they can finish them off, they're up two. They'll be up one on the Yankees, Boston. Their lead will be one. And then the Yankees' lead over Toronto is one. Over Seattle is two. Oakland, four. I'm not worried about Oakland. Bottom line is, I was seeing earlier, Toronto is losing 3-1 in the seventh inning in Minneapolis to the Twins. So losing to the Twins again. And this is huge because they'll, fall further back, right? If the Yankees win this, they're up one. They'll be up two. And up two on Toronto and one back of Boston. So this weekend series at Fenway is enormous. Everything's going to be crazy all weekend long. They're playing three there. And then they have three in Toronto. And then they finish with three in the boogie down Bronx against the Rays. We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline. There you go. Congratulations. Welcome to the show. What a thrill. Here we go. Tomorrow, they have Cortez and Pivetta pitching. And then on Sunday, it's a night game, 7 o'clock. And it's Montgomery against Edwin Rodriguez. Those are the three games in Boston this weekend. The Yankees have been tearing it up tonight in terms of, hits and everything else. They've had 5 doubles, 14 hits, 8 runs. Everybody's in on it. Rizzo, 2-for-5, 2 runs. Judge, 1-for-3, 2 runs and an RBI. Stanton, 3-for-4, 4 RBIs and a home run, a 3-run shot. Gallo, 1-for-4 with a run. Torres, 2-for-4 with a run, 2 RBIs. Higgy, 1-for-4 with an RBI. They've had everybody going on this game tonight. And everybody's still jacked up at Fenway like they're going to win the game. But I think the Yankees need to just finish them off. Finish this game off and get out of here. Get the win. You can't lose this game when you stake Cole to a 6-0 lead. It got to 7-0. You're up 7-0 in Fenway. You got to win the game. There's no getting around it. So as far as, the Cardinals, they're going to win their 14th in a row. They're going to sweep the doubleheader. I bet on both games. I bet on the Cardinals in both games. And they're up 9-4 on the Cubs in the second game. That'll be 14 in a row.
We're no ordinary sports talk network. Not only do we have a roster of world-class experts, but they tell you gaming strategies to help you win. Any simpler and we'd have to hold your hand.
And nobody wants that.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
It's always amazing to me how many Yankee fans are at Fenway when these two teams hook up. It's like, I know it's mostly Boston, but it really is a gigantic throng of Yankee fans there. Every other person's wearing a Yankee shirt. It is amazing. I've been up there for the Yankee Red Sox. There's really nothing better in baseball. I've seen all of it. Dodgers, Giants, Dodgers, Padres. The only time that's ever good is when the Padres are good and they're not good. So no one cares about that either. That's the reality of it. Believe me, they know in Los Angeles, the team that bothers them the most is the Giants and always has been. They hate them more than anybody. But you look at all these rivalries in baseball, whatever, Cardinals and Cubs. The Cardinals kicked the Cubs' ass. And then Boston and the Yankees, it doesn't get any better than that in baseball, bar none. You can even see it when they show Schwarber and Rizzo, who both played on the Cubs, right? They hooked up before this game and you had them both in their Yankees. Rizzo was in a hoodie. Schwarber was in his, Red Sox, that yellow UCLA color uniform they're wearing tonight. And they were both talking about how unbelievable it is that they're at the Yankees Red Sox game at Fenway Park on a Friday night. And they were, you know, longtime teammates in Chicago. And now they're like, I can't believe we're in this game here. And it is amazing. It really is. I mean, that place is crazy. You go there, it's a fun time. Not only have I been there for baseball games and Yankees, Red Sox games and whatever else, I saw my buddy's daughter get married there. She got married at Fenway Park. I went to a wedding there. It's crazy. They had Fenway dogs, everything, beer. It was great. To see somebody get married at Fenway Park, I never thought they did that, but I guess they do. I went and saw it live, right? So today they had, obviously, the Ryder Cup was crazy. I watched it. I thought it was really cool. And at the end of the day, the U.S. had this enormous lead over Europe. The biggest day one Ryder Cup lead since 1975, 6-2 lead. It's just the fourth time that the Americans won the opening two sessions since the Ryder Cup expanded to include all of Europe in 1979. It also happened in 1979, 2008, and 2010. DJ and Schauffele, who each won 2-0 with different partners, the U.S. surged ahead, going 3-1 in the morning foursomes competition, and then not easing off in the afternoon four ball, again going 3-1. They had it all going. Johnson, 37, the number two ranked player in the world, the oldest player on the American team. The fans have been great. And they've been pretty respectful, too, for both sides. It's been so much fun. Obviously, the fans make this event. It is rowdy. I mean, it is so lit at that Whistling Straits with the fans. They are going crazy. Giving the business to Europe when they miss putts and stuff. It's just awesome. And they are just screaming and cheering and USA this and that. It's just insanity. The U.S. is used to the first session leads in the Ryder Cup. Europe had not held the advantage after the morning going back to 2006. But all who follow the Ryder Cup know that hasn't meant a lot. Europe has won 5 of the 7 Ryder Cups played in that period, including 2018 when the U.S. won 3-1 in the morning, got waxed 4-0 in the afternoon, and never recovered. They had everybody going well. Tony Finau, who had 8 threes on his card, joined Harris English, and both players sat out in the morning and added the next point, a 4-3 victory over Rory and the Irish Bear, Shane Lowry. McIlroy, who also lost with Ian Poulter in the morning, never made it to the 16th hole of either match. For the first time, went 0-2 in any session in 6 Ryder Cup appearances. They did salvage something. Tyrrell Hatton birdied the 18th hole to earn a tie with Rahm against DeChambeau and Scotty Scheffler. It was one of the best matches of the day. Justin Thomas and Patrick Cantlay battled back from 3-down deficit with 8 holes, trying to catch him, and they did. They tied it when Thomas eagled the 16th with the match still going. And tied to the 18th, both teams made par to gain another tie. U.S. lead is the biggest through 2 sessions since 75 at Royal Lithuania, when the format saw just 5 matches on each of the first 2 days. The U.S. led Great Britain and Ireland 7.5-2.5. I don't know. I watched it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. And I think I'm going to have to watch some of it this weekend, despite the fact that there'll be all kinds of college football on tomorrow and Sunday NFL Pain Day and games nonstop. I think I'm going to have to check out some of the Ryder Cup. I'm going to have to go back and forth. It's so rowdy, so crazy, so intense, so nerve-wracking, so stressful, so much pressure. I love it. Every shot. There's this intensity. It's unequaled. I think it's cool. I think it's better than the majors. I mean, the majors, they get, you know, five or six guys in the, you know, on the leaderboard on a Saturday and on a Sunday, and then one guy finally punches through and wins it, right? This is way more intense. And the players are actually having fun and getting rowdy and, you know, fist pumping and high-fiving and dancing and celebrating, making putts, getting into it with the crowd. I think their reactions are fantastic. You never see that in the majors unless a guy drains a 40-foot putt or something to win. I think it's better than the majors. I really do. Without a doubt. The Ryder Cup is what's up. It's like, I guess it's like the World Cup. I mean, everyone loves the World Cup. Even people that don't like soccer, they end up liking the World Cup. And then every 4 years, the World Cup takes over the world stage and people love it. And then people like soccer for a month or two after the World Cup ends, and then they go back to not caring about it. I know people love the Premier League. I got friends that are at the Arsenal-Tottenham game this weekend. They went, I think, last night on a red eye to London to see it. The Gunners against the Spurs in London. Doesn't get any better than that. But fans love the Premier League. It's like the NFL. I mean, they're both so gigantic, it's not even funny. I think the Premier League's bigger. I think the NFL is big here. I think the Premier League's big all over the world. So when I think of, like, what's cool to watch, I mean, that Ryder Cup's right up there. I mean, you just see the everything about it. The fans make it so different, you know, with the, you know, and there's no European fans here because of COVID. So usually they'll travel here and try to get rowdy and take over the scene and show up and be loud and boisterous and get involved in it and start cheering for their mates. But because of COVID, they haven't been able to do that. So here it's just, I mean, 95% Americans going ballistic. I thought it was kick ass. So we got tons of college football tomorrow. There's tons of it going on tonight. Most of the games are kind of bunk, though. Where do they find these games on Friday nights? They're just so awful, aren't they? I mean, honestly, it's Pharrell on a bench. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
So I'm hearing that Rory McIlroy won't even play the morning session, and he's going to sit out. He's not even going to go. So I guess, you know, losing twice to him, he's screwed, and he's just going to chill. Patty Harrington says he's a leader, he's a badass, but he's not going to go. Anyway, so later, we're going to have Jerry Hinnon on in the second hour, and we'll talk college football with him, but I still want to talk college football now with everything that's going on tonight and tomorrow with Mafia or whatever. Let's take a look at what's happening tonight. Wake Forest is kicking Virginia's ass. I'm surprised at that. I really am. Virginia's playing at home and get beat 37-17. Now, the best game going right now is Liberty and Syracuse. It's 21 apiece at the start of the fourth quarter. And how about this one? UNLV leads Fresno State 7-0 out of the gates, and they're laying 30 and a hook. Fresno's laying 30 and a hook, and they're losing to UNLV already in this game. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm going to start swearing here. Honestly, I can't have UNLV in this game with Fresno State tonight. I mean, are you kidding me? Charlotte, 42-39 over Middle Tennessee. And I think that number may have been 3.5 with Middle Tennessee plus 3. So that pushed. I thought it was 3.5. So anyway, those are the four games tonight. They're just absolutely awful. Now, obviously, Jerry's going to have all kinds of different opinions of who he likes in these games tomorrow. And then I'm just going to sit here and tell you about all the biggest games. Obviously, it's going to be a huge day. I got to tell you, Mafia, this is driving me nuts, just so you know. Are you not getting my messages? I mean, it's just absolutely driving me nuts. So just so we're clear, I'm just going to come right out with it. Everything I'm saying is repeating over and over. So I'm losing my mind. God almighty. I'm going to have a stroke doing this show. I really am. I'm going to end up in a rubber room. I need a shrink. Oh, my God. Notre Dame and Wisconsin tomorrow at Soldier Field at noon. That's going to be incredible. Wisconsin laying 6.5. I just cannot believe that Wisconsin is favored by 6.5 over Notre Dame. I just cannot figure out how in God's name they're favored by 6.5. Is Notre Dame not better than them? Is it just me? And Jack Cohn played at Wisconsin. What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? What, do they know him or something? They think they're going to stop him because he played at Wisconsin and they know all of his secrets. What is it? What, Russian spies? Georgia and Vanderbilt at Vandy. Georgia's laying 35. That's another game at noon. Villanova and Penn State, that number finally came out. You know, the games that they wait on, these sports books are just such idiots. They really are. I mean, it is so unbelievable to me how you got to wait until Friday night at 9 o'clock to get the spreads on the extra games. I mean, it just sucks. Do any of them know what they're doing? Do any of them not just screw people? And, I mean, honestly, Can anybody get the effing lines out earlier so that people can make some effing bets for once in a while? You know, people that love to bet on sports, does that not tick you off more than anything in the world? You can't get a line? I mean, is there anything worse? Honestly, they kick them out at 9 o'clock on Friday night? Christ, doesn't I have anything better to do than wait till 9 o'clock to get spreads and go to the window? I got to go to window at midnight? How painful is that? Mafia knows what I'm talking about. I wait for 15 games, 20 games a week that they don't put the spreads out on. Sucks. Penn State laying 30 and a hook to Villanova. And LSU, Mississippi State. Mississippi State is getting 2.5 in Starkville at home. I just think Ed Orgeron sucks as a coach. You know, it's funny. They gave him all this credit when they won the national championship. It had nothing to do with him. It really didn't. It was because they had an entire team of five-star NFL players, and they had Joe Burrow and Chase. They won because of talent, not because of his fat ass. What's he done since besides absolutely nothing? I mean, honestly, who's afraid of LSU anymore? Nobody? How does that sound? Missouri and Boston College. Missouri's laying 1.5 at Chestnut Hill. Another high noon game. Florida International and Central Michigan. CMU laying 11.5. That game should be canceled. Here's another one of the extra games. New Hampshire and Pitt. Pitt's laying 29. Well, they lost to Western Michigan last week at Heinz Field. What makes you think they can cover 30 against New Hampshire? I mean, seriously. New Hampshire's 3-0. Sounds to me like Pitt will have their hands full again tomorrow. I got to Pittsburgh last week, and I looked out the hotel window, and I'm looking at that crowd over at Heinz Field for that football game. It was embarrassing. Flat out embarrassing. I mean, it looked like spots of people in this gigantic NFL stadium. There were spots of people. That must be what it's like in Vegas at a UNLV game at that new Allegiant Stadium, because you know there's nobody going to watch that crappy team. Watch the win tonight against Fresno. No, they won't. They're not winning that game. Here's another extra game. Richmond and Votek. Votek's laying 30. But the Spiders are 2-1 as well. Minnesota laying 31 to Bowling Green. They're playing them in Minneapolis. They should rake Bowling Green. Ohio and Northwestern, Ryan Field and Evanston. Northwestern's laying 14 and a hook. SMU and TCU. There's a good battle down in the Lone Star State. TCU laying 9.5. But SMU's 3-0. TCU's 2-0. Should be a good game. How about Texas Tech? They're unbeaten. Getting 9 from Texas. I'm pretty sure that game's in Austin. It's on ABC tomorrow at noon. That one. The Red Raiders and the Longhorns. Steve Sarkisian getting involved. Here's another extra game. Wagner and Temple. Temple's laying 33. It was 31 2 hours ago. Miami of Ohio at Army up at West Point. Army's laying 7.5. Army's undefeated. They should handle that. Boise and Utah State. How about this? 9 a.m. out there. They're playing at 9 in the morning. I think. Maybe it's mountain time. It's 10, but it's at noon east. It may be a 10 a.m. start mountain time in Logan. Boise's laying 9. Here's another extra game. Central Connecticut and Miami. Miami's got problems. De'Ara King's injured, I guess, is what I heard. And I heard he's not playing, so Miami season's over. They're 1-2. Their season's already over. They suck. I mean, I cannot believe that I'm a Canes fan. And, I called it, right? Michigan State going down to Hard Rock and beating Miami outright. They should have lost the Appalachian State game, too. They got lucky there with a Hail Mary. And then Alabama beat their ass. Miami is just god-awful. Manny Diaz not doing the job down in Miami at all with the Canes. That's all there is to it. They're laying 44 to Central Connecticut. I don't even think Miami can score 44 points. I don't. That's how bad they are. Coastal Carolina laying 36 to UMass. What an awful game that'll be. San Jose State and Western Michigan. Western Michigan laying 2.5. That's a long trip for San Jose State. I mean, they're decent, right? If Western Michigan can beat Pitt in Pittsburgh, they should be able to win against San Jose State at home. Toledo and Ball State and Muncie. Toledo's laying 5. Texas State and Eastern Michigan and Ypsilanti. Eastern Michigan laying 6.5. Maine and Northern Illinois. There's an extra game. Northern Illinois laying 21 at home. The Huskies. Washington State and Utah. Utah's laying 15 in Salt Lake. Colorado State taking on number 5. Iowa in Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. Iowa's laying 23 in a hook. So we're going to keep going through all the college games on a bench.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go find a clover patch, get down on all fours, and find one with 4 leaves. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't get any ticks. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All All right, Pharrell on the bench with you on a pain-free Friday. So I want to go through these games with you, Mafia, because I was just kind of going through the litany of games, and I'm bored to death doing that. So I want to just start talking about the games and seeing what you think. You know, anyway, I got a million things going on in here at the same time I'm doing the show, just so we're clear, trying to figure things out. All right, so as far as the games, I was just saying, I'll give you a few more that I'll mention, but what I think we should do is just go through the biggest games. All right, so the top 25 games tomorrow, let's start with Notre Dame and Wisconsin. Who do you like in that one?
Yeah, that one's a tough one. I really don't trust either of these teams right now. Now those look great. You got the whole thing with, you know, Mertz has never impressed me at Wisconsin. I think that, you know, you got Cohn doing okay at Notre Dame. I don't think either of these teams has really come out here and shown me great things on either side of the ball. So with Wisconsin being at home, that great defense, I think I'm going to take them, but I might ride Notre Dame for the middle. I might say that they lose by, you know, field goal 4 points instead of the 6.5 that they're laying.
So, but you think Wisconsin's winning the game?
I'm going to take them to win just because of the better defense I think that they have that'll slow Notre Dame down. Yeah.
I don't understand that. Like, what better defense? I mean, like, they're 1-1. Notre Dame's 3-0. People keep saying, you know, Notre Dame's not good enough. They beat Florida State in overtime. They beat Toledo. People didn't like that. They won 32-29. Toledo's better than people think. And then they beat Purdue by, you know, 27-13. I mean, I don't deny that Wisconsin gave Penn State a game up in Madtown and lost 16-10. And then they beat Eastern Michigan, which is a walk in the park for them. So, I mean, you play Eastern Michigan, you should win that game 50-7. So they beat them 34-7. What's so good about Wisconsin? Like, I watched them against Penn State. I thought they looked like crap. I mean, their offense sucks.
Their defense is good. Otherwise, nothing's impressive. That's what I'm saying. Neither team has really impressed me. I mean, Purdue. They always hyped them up, and they're nothing. You know, like you said, the other wins for Notre Dame, they were close. They were tight, you know, tighter than they should have against Toledo. I think both teams have underwhelmed. So I'm just going with Wisconsin, really, because they have a solid defense, and they're at home.
Do you think Brian Kelly's done a good job at Notre Dame?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look what he came before him. Like, everyone rips him because he doesn't have this title. They, you know, act like he's nobody. Like, you know, he's no Lou Holtz. He's no, you know, all these guys. Granted, he doesn't have the title, but those guys also didn't do that. When they were coaching Notre Dame was the Alabama of college football. You know, everybody wanted to go to Notre Dame or Michigan. It's not that way anymore. You know, now it is Alabama and these other teams and the SEC ruling things. He's done a good job there. Good year in and year out. They win a lot of games. And he's returning. That program was terrible for what, three or four coaches before him with, you know, Ty Whittingham and Charlie Weiss and these other guys. It was a laughing stock pretty much, getting beat on by USC every year. Now they're a good program again. They're one of the tops in the country. They just can't win the chip because no one outside of Clemson and Alabama does.
And when they do play in the playoff, they get their ass beat. But I'll say this, he's no Holtz. Holtz got it done. But the reality is, I think Eric Bercegian was better. Dan Devine won there. You know, Rockne, et cetera. All I know is that Brian Kelly's won a ton of football games at Notre Dame. And he at least admits that he hasn't won a championship, and that's all that matters in South Bend. But I truly believe that it's a great college football, you know, school, program, atmosphere to this day. So when I grew up, I went to every game Joe Montana ever played there. You know that. I saw everything in South Bend. It was great. But it's never changed. It's still great. It's still an amazing experience going to a game in South Bend. There's truly, I don't think there's anything like it in college football. I mean, I won't deny the Big House is cool and Madtown's cool and Ohio State, the Horseshoe is cool and Happy Valley's cool. And I guess going to the Rose Bowl. See, I always consider going to the Rose Bowl the game itself, the Rose Bowl, is the best college bowl game experience you could ever have in your life because of the weather and the mountains, and it's a crystal clear, beautiful blue sky day every year, and they play the Rose Bowl, and it's just the greatest experience ever. I will never in my life forget going to the Rose Bowl. I went several times, and I just thought it was the most fantastic thing I had ever experienced. But I don't care about going there to see UCLA play. And I've been to the Coliseum a million times to watch USC play, and it can't hold a candle to Notre Dame. Even though they play Notre Dame every year, and I've seen Notre Dame play USC 100 times, there's no way you can compare going to a game in South Bend at Notre Dame Stadium to going to the Coliseum to watch USC. It's that simple. Notre Dame, and Alabama's great. Athens is great. The Swamp is great. Tallahassee's great. They're not Notre Dame. That's it. They're not Notre Dame. Now, people don't like that because they can't stand Notre Dame. They're stuck up, Catholic, nonsense. They think they're better than everybody. They're highfalutin. There's no doubt they're all of that, right? But I'm telling you, without a doubt, I mean, it's not even close. It is not even worth arguing about. I have been everywhere. I have seen everything. And I have done it, all of it. And there is nothing better in that place. There's something about it. It's spiritual. It's like, oh my God, the smell on that campus of bratwurst cooking and hot dogs and hamburgers. And now people say they do that everywhere. No, they don't. It doesn't smell like it does there. And then all of a sudden you hear the Notre Dame fight song and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish band coming through that campus. They march through campus to the stadium every Saturday. It's like this scene from the music school all the way over to the stadium, and they march through the campus. And when you see them coming around the corner, that marching band with the Fighting Irish and the leprechaun, I mean to tell you, there's something about it that's, it's the greatest thing you've ever experienced if you're a football fan, a college football fan. I'm telling you, it's really cool. And the tailgate scene there is second to none. I mean, it puts a smile on my face just remembering it. And I don't ever have a smile on my face.
This is true.
This is true. But I'm telling you, it's... What? Only when the Penguins win the cup. But I am telling you, it's the coolest thing I've ever done. And I've been to millions of games. Nothing compares to it. Nothing even comes close. You're like, okay, so when I was a kid, right, they used to let people out on the field. Like when the Notre Dame Fighting Irish came running out of the tunnel to come to the sideline, they used to have like the student body and the cheerleaders formed a like a tunnel from the tunnel to the sideline. And they ran through the tunnel of people, right? It was like a pathway. And because I knew my dad was friends with Dan Devine, they let me on the field. And I had a credential to go on the field for the when the Notre Dame Fighting Irish came out. Now you got to remember, I was a little kid. And so here comes the Notre Dame football team, and the guys are like 6'6", 300 pounds, right? They're these titans, these absolute monsters. And I'm this little kid, and I'm just looking at these dudes, and they're so enormous and huge. And here they come running through that tunnel and through that wave of people. I mean, it is spiritual. It's sexual. It's just, I mean, it was like the greatest thing ever. I was like, this isn't even real. And then to sit there and watch Joe Montana for his entire career play every game, I'm telling you. And listen, I'm with you on that they're D's. Nuts. But they, everybody there, Notre Dame is the most stuck-up thing in the world in sports. There's nothing more painful than Notre Dame football in terms of their snobbery and stuck-up BS. But I don't even care because I know how incredible of an experience it is going to Notre Dame football games. Do you know Carver High and Mafia? I don't even think you know this. Do you remember Shep's brother, Mike?
I do, yes, of course.
Did you know he ended up at Notre Dame in the law school there?
I did not know that. Doesn't surprise me.
That's very
good overachievers.
Well, he was working at Howard TV, right? He became a producer at Howard TV. Mike did, and he did that for like a few years, and then he ended up going to law school. He got admitted to Notre Dame, and he sent me a picture of him at South Bend at like the the Golden Dome. He sent me like a picture like from in front of the law school and in front of the Golden Dome. And I was just like blown away that he had gone there to law school. That's very impressive. Like, cause we knew him and he was like just a normal kid, right? I never thought that kid was like that smart or that he was devoted to his education in that capacity. I never knew he was that great. Like one day he's doing Howard TV producing television shows, right? You remember him. He was like a TV producer. He was like trying to do TV. And then the next thing I know, he's in Notre Dame Law School studying to become a lawyer. And let me tell you something. You go to Notre Dame Law, it's all over. But the shouting, you're going to be successful in life. Let me tell you. It's that simple. You go to Harvard, Stanford, Notre Dame, you get a law degree, you're on your way. That's it. Whether people believe that or not. Trust me, I'll just save you a lot of time. He'll be successful in life, guaranteed. If you get your degree from Notre Dame Law and you get past the bar, which you will, because if you go to Notre Dame, you're not stupid. And if you're not stupid, you're going to pass the bar. So when you have a law degree from Notre Dame, it's all over. I mean, you're on your way.
Well, Scott, as you know from our many years hanging out with that and the Howard crew, I'm sure after a couple of years of spending around them, you either better be a lawyer or get a lawyer because you're probably going to need it.
You're right about that, Mafia. That's true. Everybody needs a lawyer. John Jones needs a lawyer. Maybe you could hire Mike.
Retainer and speed dial everything.
Maybe you could hire Mike Shepard. Your boy Shep's little brothers at Notre Dame Law. I have seen it all now. You know what it is? All these things are happening, around me, and I'm getting old, and it's all happening around me. Everybody else is going to law school, doing this, doing that, and I'm over here getting old. All right, well, at least I'll score 1,000 points tomorrow playing basketball. Terrell on the bench. With people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
I mean, I have seen it all, Mafia. Here's Fresno. They got the ball at around, I don't know, the 9-yard line of UNLV, but they get thrown for a loss here. So UNLV's leading the game 14-0. Now, you cannot explain this to me. Fresno State is ranked, and they are playing one of the worst teams. UNLV is literally a high school football team. They're 0-3. Fresno State is a ranked team, and they're playing at home, and they're losing 14-0. Now, they're going to kick a field goal here at Fresno to try to make it 14-3, but I cannot even believe what I'm watching. How embarrassing for Fresno State that they are getting beat. But I honestly think UNLV is the worst football team in America. I mean, that's crazy. What is happening there? That game's got to be fixed.
Yeah, saying that UNLV is a high school football team might be an insult to was it Bishop Gorman. That's the huge high school team there that beats everybody. Like, they might beat UNLV, and somehow UNLV's winning that game. I don't get that. They should be getting blown out not even, you know, close at half, let alone leading here. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, Gorman is the high school you're talking about. Bishop Gorman's always been pretty big. All right, so Georgia and Vanderbilt are playing at in Nashville, and Georgia's laying 35. Do you think they cover the big number?
They should. There's no way that that defense and that running game should be held back by Vanderbilt.
All right, so when we come back, we'll go through all the top 25 games with Mafia. And then later, Jerry Hinnan will tell us what he thinks are the best teams in college football and what they're going to do this weekend.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.